Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 545. Science Faction, your not-so-weekly corona update. The numbers are as follows for today, February 7th, 2021. Worldwide infected, 106.5 million. U.S. infected, 27.5 million. Worldwide dead, 2.3 million. U.S. dead, 474,000. The U.S. also has 9.8 million active infections, far and away the most of any country on Earth, and 22,000 serious infections. Also, as a heads up, an interesting article came out today suggesting that many more people have been infected with COVID in the U.S. than the numbers report, which is certainly true. Obviously, not every person who was infected got tested and got a positive test, etc. So there definitely are much higher, but some of these numbers are suggesting up to a third of the U.S. population has been infected, which would be well over 100 million. That will be really interesting to see in the coming months or years when the data comes out, whether or not that is true. And that will certainly have some sort of impact on our overall herd immunity, though not necessarily to the new South African variant, as we're seeing more and more that it can infect people who've already been infected with the standard strain of SARS-CoV-2. As far as what's going on in the U.S., it's kind of interesting. We seem to be plateauing, maybe even going downhill a little, even though we just recently had our biggest death day ever. It was a 5,000 death day, which was just reported. But I want to try to break that open for you. That's not actually because we had the most people die on any given day. It was actually one state, I think it was Indiana, released a bunch of its deaths that it had been holding to the CDC. And so it all got counted in one day and it knocked it up to 5,000. In reality, now we seem to be down in the 3,000 range. We're heading down from that kind of plateau of an average daily death of over 4,000. So that seems to be good. It seems like something positive is happening here. It is not hitting as hard as we would like, though. And again, some of this is residual, right? The people who are dying now are the people who were in the ICU for a week or the people who were infected 2 weeks before that. So we're looking like a month or so back. And what happened? That was the end of the holidays for us, right? And so, you know, some of this might still be just kind of residual deaths of those holiday gatherings that are still getting knocked out, which again, all happened kind of before the vast majority, at least, of inoculations that came out. And now that we've given at least around 3 million people, I think, who have had two of the shots and another like, you know, 10 or 15 million that have had at least one. And so that's going to keep getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, hopefully soon we are going to hit an amount of resistance to the disease that we start seeing these death numbers drop dramatically as well. As of right now, hospitals are still pretty jammed up, and we aren't seeing the availability of ICU beds that we would need to have a functioning economy, even though, even here in California, where stuff is the worst it is, we are seeing that our economy is going to open back up because our governor wants to make sure he's not pissing off the nutbags anymore. All right, on to the articles. Article number one, is B.1.1.7 more deadly? Now, we've talked about B.1.1.7 before. This is the British variant. This is the one that we know is much more infectious, 50 to 70% more infectious. But is it more likely to kill you? New results came out that says, yes, it may be. It may be actually 35% more likely to kill you than the standard strain, which is very significant. Now, mainly this seems to group in older people because the number of young people who die from it are so small that the amount of extra people that seem to be dying from this one could be within the statistical noise. So we're not 100% sure, but certainly in the older groups, we're seeing significantly higher death rates that might equate to something like 35% more higher lethality of this disease. We still have to tease these numbers out a little bit, though, because quite frankly, it's still hard to tell if it's just more people getting sick because it's more easily transmissible, or if it's actually that not only is it more easily transmissible, it's more likely to kill you. Obviously, very scary, and even more reason to go out and get those vaccines, because remember, as we saw last week, B.1.1.7, while seeming to be able to evade the vaccines a little bit, was not super successful at doing that, not nearly as much as the South African variant, and therefore a lot of these people's lives could have been saved if they were vaccinated, quite likely. All right, on to article number two. Very interesting paper came out in Nature looking at the evidence of mutations in immunocompromised people and how they might happen. And this was a case study of data from a man who had been infected and died in the middle of 2020. So he'd been a cancer patient back in 2012, which had led to a weakened immune system, and he was treated for his COVID infection mid-2020 with remdesivir and the antibodies from recovered patients. We talked about that before. You've had COVID, they get your blood out, they pull the antibodies out, and they give those antibodies to somebody else. Well, as they were monitoring him, after treatments of remdesivir, they didn't notice much change to the viral structure or anything like that. It seemed to help the virus not replicate, help them obviously not have as high a viral load, et cetera, et cetera. But the virus itself seemed pretty stagnant. Nothing seemed to change. However, after each of the antibody treatments, they realized that the samples they were getting from the patients seemed to be more and more dominated by copies of the virus that had mutations of the spike protein that made it less vulnerable to the antibodies. Meaning the antibodies seemed to be driving a certain selection pressure. You could call it an evolutionary pressure, even though, you know, you can make the whole debate about viruses not being alive and therefore not subject to evolution. But it's driving the evolution or pseudo-evolution of this virus was its exposure to these antibodies, which is kind of along the lines of some of the stuff we were hearing about B117 and the South African variant arising from immunocompromised patients. This is really interesting because we're seeing this data come back from somebody who had it going on. We kind of see the step-by-step thing, and we're seeing that the antibody treatments in immunocompromised people might be a really dangerous step because it allows the virus to slowly mutate to those things while still staying alive in that immunocompromised person, whereas somebody else, once the body starts winning that war, it essentially wipes the virus out and completely kills it. These immunocompromised people, they stay alive, and that mutated version of the virus has more time to live and mutate again and then infect somebody else. So this is a really interesting kind of window into what might have happened with the South African variant, with the English variant, where these might have came from, and the step-by-step process on how you go from having, you know, a standard strain to 23 mutations. It seems like this can happen with continued monoclonal antibody treatments. All right, and lastly, two interesting intertwined ideas. Will missing the second shot of your vaccine create superbugs like not finishing antibiotics might with bacteria? And should we mix the different vaccines, meaning one shot of Pfizer, one shot of Moderna, et cetera, et cetera? So these are interesting questions coming out about vaccines. First of all, will getting only one shot of one of these two-shot vaccines actually make things worse, just like antibiotic treatments? You know, you get one shot, the virus gets a little bit of a kick, but man, it can beat it just enough, and now it's more immune to the stuff we use in vaccines, and therefore vaccines become less effective. Is that a possibility? Well, the answer is yes. That certainly could happen, you know, depending on which shot you get. The Pfizer seems to confer about a 50% resistance with one shot before going up to 95% after the second shot. The Moderna, I think, is about 70 to 80% after one shot before going up to 95% with the second shot. However, you know, if the virus is able to still survive in those scenarios, it makes sense that it would be more likely to infect a person and be less susceptible to the vaccines later on. So that is decent reasoning. Now, it's not the same as bacteria for a few reasons, because the antibiotics are actually something you're adding from the outside that is going to fight it, and therefore those things don't necessarily change. Whereas when you're looking at a vaccine, what you're actually doing is training your immune system to fight these things, and your immune system is dynamic. It can change slightly. So as the other thing evolves, it can evolve against it, as opposed to an antibiotic, which is a static thing you are just adding to try and kill that particular pathogen. So it's not a one-to-one comparison. We know that this particular virus has mutation correction machine, which keeps it from mutating too fast, which is great for us. So it also means it's less likely to evolve in the face of that kind of thing. But certainly, we should encourage people to get the two shots if they get the two-shot vaccine. They should absolutely do it because we want them to have full protection and full immunity, and we don't want that whatever small percentage chance that the virus can grow out of control because it becomes resistant to the vaccine. So that saying that, the second question is either because, let's say, we run out of Moderna tomorrow, but we have a bunch of Pfizer, vice versa, or just because it might be more effective. Instead of two shots of Pfizer, two shots of Moderna, should you do one shot of each? This is really interesting, and there's actually some studies going on to look at this now. Certainly, I would say that if you're due for your second shot and you can only get the other vaccine, you can only get the Pfizer if you had Moderna or vice versa, you should, just because it's not going to hurt, might as well, better than nothing, etc. But I'm actually of the opinion that if you had the ability to just get two separate shots, like you could get whatever you wanted, you should get two separate ones. You should get the Moderna and the Pfizer, because theoretically that should convey a better, broader immunity, because your body has now seen two separate versions of this spike protein that it can attack with different bodies in it and everything like that, so that it is more geared toward that spike and has more looks at what it might look like. It's not just one specific thing. The Russian vaccine actually does this on purpose. It actually uses adenoviruses. It uses two separate ones so that each of those shots you get is different, so that your body is kind of like, oh, I see that spike protein. Okay, this is the thing we're going to kill. I can kill it. And then the next time it sees it, it's like, this is a little different, but it's still got that spike. Let's get it anyway. And now your body is used to killing anything with this spike protein in it. I actually think this is a really good idea. Now, we got to make sure it's safe and there's going to be plenty of testing and stuff. But personally, even after I get vaccinated, especially if the South African variant comes through, I'm going to be looking around, because I'm getting the Pfizer one. I'm going to be looking around like, hey, anyone got an extra Moderna I can get a shot of real quick? I don't need both. I just need one shot. Give my body another look, you know, so to speak. Oh, you got a Johnson & Johnson. Load that guy up in there, too. I think multiple vaccines are probably a good idea. And frankly, I actually think this is where we're going. I think the future will be you get one Pfizer, one Moderna, because I think we're going to find that's much more effective. All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 544, where you learned all about whether or not B117 is more deadly, the process of viral mutation in immunocompromised individuals, and whether or not you should get two different shots. Thank you so much for joining me, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 546.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.